Hi, this is Lexi
and Sid
of Hess Van Schlemmer Metalworks and Art, home of the Schlemmer Metal Wolves. We are a small but furious family-run welding, fabrication, and metalworks shop with CNC capabilities and now full-scale powder coating operation. We bring unique, affordable quality art to life within the realm of practicality. Whether it's signs, sculptures, railings, shelves, furniture, or even just powder coat for your rims or your patio set, give us a look, check us out on Facebook or Instagram, or call 618-670-5724. We are Hess Van Schlemmer Metalworks. That was terrible.
We tried.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast. Let me tell you about my friends over at Naked Vine, located at 1624 Clarkson Road in Chesterfield, Missouri. Hey, swing by and visit them this week, Tuesday, August 14th. Rock Paper Podcast presents Singer-Songwriter Storytelling Showcase with Anna Shanoff, Bobby Stevens, and Matt Wynn. Thursday, August 16th, The Wilhelms. Friday, August 17th, The Warbuckles. And Saturday, August 18th, The Scandaleros. You can find all these shows and more at nakedvine.net. Be sure to follow along with them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And come by for the show and grab a glass of wine or whiskey or local craft beer. It's always a good time out at Naked Vine, so come check it out. Thanks, everybody. Enjoy the show.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
I'm Tim Levy.
I'm Jorge Valcarcel from Boxcar the Band.
And you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Yeah.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri. Hanging out tonight with some of the guys of Heart of Saturday Night, tribute to Tom Waits. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thanks for having us.
You guys want to properly introduce yourselves for everybody listening?
Me first.
No, I was, yeah.
I'm Tim Levy.
Jim Wolf.
Kevin Koenig.
I'm a Jorge Valcarcel. I'll be playing guitar and singing on some of the songs.
Tim, just rhythm guitar.
Tim Levy failed to mention he's the piano player in this project. He started the project. He's the biggest Tom Waits fan that there is out there. And he's going to be playing a real piano at the Hideaway because they got a real piano over there. So
yeah, donated by
Jackson Pianos.
Nice.
So no keyboards. This is the real deal Tom Waits fan.
Yeah, real deal. We're going to be drunk.
Yeah.
Gonna be smoky outside.
Should we wear tuxedos or something?
Now that you said it.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm glad you brought it up.
So, what are you gonna wear?
I think you have to now. So
thanks for leading us into that one.
Yeah. Sorry.
It's on the red internet. Carpet special.
Yeah.
Yeah, this sounds exciting though, because like I'm a big Tom Waits fan myself, and there's not a whole lot out there. I mean, there's definitely a lot of these various tribute acts, even touring the country playing different stuff, but I don't know that there's a whole lot of people doing Tom Waits stuff. So it's like
You're right. There aren't a lot of them, but I kind of actually. So I'm about a year into St. Louis and my tenure here, but I actually got the idea because I saw not just a tribute band, but a circus tribute. It was a freak show, sideshow, circus. Tom Waits to tribute to Frank's Wild Years, which is one of my favorite albums. And I was sitting there watching them, and they played it almost exactly like the album, and then had little freak shows going on. So there are a couple, but there aren't many.
We'll have a freak show.
Yeah,
we're not gonna be stabbing needles through our fucking cheeks.
We're not.
I saw that and it was really hot.
It's gotta be.
They're doing it to Temptation off of Frank's Wild Years.
You mean the needle was?
She
hot?
Came. No, the needle
you
probably body temp 98 degrees.
great.
So nothing like that, but just Jorge standing up there will
don't
be a freak show.
Don't speak too soon.
You did buy the right outfit, though, the other day.
Yeah.
You can confirm that for the internet. It's confirmed.
Yeah. We've shopped.
So you mentioned some of these different tributes. Some of them, go for note for note replication, and sometimes it's sort of a reinterpretation. What's your guys' approach to this coming into Tom Waits' music and stuff?
Reinterpretation? You say that?
Yeah. The songs I do the more of the guitar based songs, and we're just playing it how we want to play it. It's we're not trying to sound like the record.
Right.
And we're just enjoying the sound of our band. It's going to be, we'll have the piano in there. We're going to have some horns. But it's just going to sound like our band doing Tom Waits songs, and hopefully we do them justice.
Not just like our band doing Tom Waits songs, but I mean.
Right.
I mean, huge, like full production.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
And is this something where you guys are kind of sticking to the hits, or are you guys playing some deep cuts in there, or do we have still working on the set list? Or
good question.
Yeah,
I think we have a couple of deep cuts.
Smorgasbord.
Yeah, it really.
What is a smorgasbord? I don't know.
It's a perfect word for what it is. A smorgasbord of Tom Waits.
Yeah,
you know?
Sounds delicious. What
we're going early years. We're gonna go all the way up to his recent stuff. I'm more of a fan of his after Swordfish Trombone album, where they got weird, you know. I'm not the biggest fan of the early Tom Waits piano bar kind of sound stuff. Tim likes that kind of
stuff. The loungy stuff. That's
he's
nice.
A,
that's
he likes,
IMO.
Yeah, I like that stuff. I like the jazzy stuff.
Good thing we got this guy as a lead guitarist.
Not
much
drums in that stuff.
Too bad, Jim.
It was
brush drumming.
But I mean, like, the stuff that he was doing at that time, like, it was even just so unique at the time of what was coming out from bands all over, you know.
Yeah. I like the weird stuff. I mean, I like when he's like hitting trash can lids and he's using a megaphone as his microphone, you know.
We're gonna have some of that. Jim just found a piece of sheet metal that he's bringing to the show.
Yeah.
So that's gonna be there.
I have a cardboard box I can bring.
Yeah. Do it.
Is that doing it for
do it. We need a whole rack, Tom, of fucking tin cans.
I have that.
Putting it together tomorrow. Hot glue, hot beer, and hot cans.
Hot needles.
So well, no, yeah, but a smorgasbord. We're just kind of spanning the career. We're doing the songs that have kind of inspired us that we love. We're doing the songs that we like, and
yeah,
if you don't like them, another song will come up. You'll probably like it.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, again, all this is happening August 25th over at the Hideaway in St. Louis, Missouri, you come on out and sing along with these guys and have a great night.
It's free. It's free. It's on Arsenal.
Can we talk about how awesome the Hideaway is?
The Hideaway,
yeah.
Awesome.
The Hideaway.
When he told me the Hideaway,
awesome.
I was like, really? And then I was like, yeah, really. Like that
yeah,
makes
really.
Total fucking sense.
Well, so the Hideaway. So the venue itself, where it is, the Hideaway. I was trying to find a venue, so I'd already brought the idea to Jorge about doing a Tom Waits tribute night, but doing it, you know, our style. And I went to a couple different venues. I won't name names. And approached them with this idea of doing, you know, an actual, like, a tribute to him, like, inspired us as songwriters. This is how we do it. Kind of crash and burn every time I brought it to him. And then a good friend of mine told me about the Hideaway. I'd not been there yet. Walked in and immediately
told you about the Hideaway.
No, it wasn't you. It wasn't you.
I'm pretty sure I did.
I'm 100% sure it wasn't you. Don't make me drop his name and bring somebody else into this conversation. No. But anyways, whoever it was, walked into the Hideaway and was immediately like, holy shit, this is actually somewhere where Tom Waits would play. You know, they've got that like ivory wraparound bar right in the middle of the place where that like piano, that ivory colored.
Looks like wood to me.
It's white, but it's like pearl. It's pearl, not ivory. Pearl would be a better description of it.
Pearlescent.
Oh, it's pearlescent.
Shiny?
It shines. They got a shiny varnish on it. With a piano in the middle of it, so you can actually sit around the piano player, and it's like just 70s, like, decor in there.
It's
like
a
lounge decor, and
it's
like black and red and like bright oranges and gold, and it's like, as soon as I walked to that bar, I was just like, that is 100% where Tom Waits Night should be. You know, no stage, but we're going to make it work, because you walk in there and you just feel transported. So, yeah, I mean, the Hideaway is going to be perfect spot for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They kind of went viral, didn't they, with some of the stuff on their board outside, didn't they?
I don't know.
Yeah, they had somebody wrote a sign, because they have a light up
this old air.
Yeah,
signs,
yeah.
You know,
oh, and even the sign outside. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. And they changed the phrase. Like, they made a phrase that was like, what was it? Like something about Star Wars,
yeah,
or
like
light, Lamb.
Lightsaber Night or something.
Lightsaber
like
Night. Thanks, Luke, or
yeah,
something like that. And like, it went viral. And,
all right.
Yeah, totally.
So yeah, I'm pretty sure that was the Hideaway. That
it was. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So yeah, come on out there. Lightsaber Night is not going to be that night, but unfortunately, but maybe it can be. I don't know. Maybe.
Well, if people bring their lightsabers out, I'm not going to be offended.
Right.
I'm going to mend it.
Ask the bouncer.
Yeah, ask
the bouncer.
Take it
up with the
bouncer.
All
right. So how long has this idea been in the works, I guess? Where you said you came to Jorge with this idea, but
I came to Jorge with it maybe back in
3 months ago, maybe.
Yeah, what, March?
March,
April-ish. Yeah. And I think the first thing that we agreed on about it, because it's taking a while to boil down the set list. I mean, the guy's got hundreds of songs.
Sure.
First thing we agreed on was that it would be an us production. Like, we're two different songwriters. We're both transplants to St. Louis. You're a transplant to St. Louis.
That's Jim. He's pointing to.
Right.
And you can't see your hand.
Is it time for the song?
We just all agreed that this would be kind of like how we do it, and it's our way of getting into the community. And
sure.
Because St. Louis loves Tom Waits.
So how'd you guys, how did this group come to be? I guess do you guys all play together?
Meet Jim?
Yeah.
How did I meet Jim?
Yeah.
Megan.
How did you meet Jim?
Well,
Megan's
I see, yeah.
Megan is our...
Okay, now it's becoming clear, yeah. I met Tim at the Gaslight, where we hang out, because it's like a music studio bar, and that's like badass, so... and then we do open mic night there all the time, and there's this girl that comes there all the time. She plays clarinet. She'll play with anybody, you know? And she's really good, and we're like, man, this girl's awesome, and I think what happened was Tim asked her to be in his band, and he was trying to, you know, he's new in town, I'm new in town, he's trying to wrangle together a band. It's hard in this town, we don't know anybody, you know? So he got her in his band. He was trying to get this drummer off of Craigslist or something like that, and the guy just wouldn't show up to practice. So she's like, well, actually, I'm in the Air Force band, and our drummer from the Air Force could come play in your band. And I was like, oh, that's pretty awesome. So they played out a night at San Lu all together. And it was Jim, who's in the Air Force. He's an Air Force drummer, audio guy. Megan's the Air Force, just the Air Force band. The Air Force bassist showed up. And I was like, man, these guys are pretty good.
Well, yeah, no, because then I lost a bassist as well. So I lost him.
You lost
drummer.
Your whole band.
I lost the whole band. My whole Craigslist band just like fell apart. And I had Megan. Megan was my constant. She was like, oh, here's an incredible drummer and an incredible bassist.
Yeah.
And
then I was like, I want to steal that drummer, and I did. And that's Jim over there. So it worked out pretty good, because Jim was willing to be in two bands. And he also plays the Casio tone keyboard. And that's him on the Casio tone there. We're going to have to pull the plug on him here. But, yeah. And then it just became like a musical community, you know? So
Yeah, we're kind of...
We're putting together a little bit of a camp. Tim's in a band, I'm in a band, and we have our own bands, and then we thought, let's do a Tom Waits night, too, because we love Tom Waits, so we're just making music, you know? It's like almost like Brady Bunch or something over there.
Was that good?
Yeah. There was a man, his name was Timmy.
Except we're not married.
Are we going to find
Jim's
out?
Jim's not our baby.
We might be married, though.
Are we brothers, Kevin?
Yeah, and Kevin?
Kevin.
Oh,
is Kevin and Jim our brothers?
Oh, no, they find out they're not brother and sister.
Oh, Jim's my baby.
Okay, so Kevin's my baby.
I'll take Kevin.
Yeah.
Well, Kevin is also my baby, actually, because I found Kevin.
Uh-oh, did we just...
That is true.
Yeah, so...
Wait, I don't got no babies?
At this point, I don't know if you do.
What am I, like Alice, the housekeeper?
So Jorge's our Alice to this Brady Bunch scenario.
Brady Bunch?
You were talking about getting binders for everything.
Yeah, I like to be organized. There's nothing wrong with that. You need to be organized in a band, especially when you're in two bands. You're in two bands.
I'm in two bands.
Yeah, but we're like a community of musicians. And, you know, hopefully we'll be doing more stuff like this, you know? Especially with our own music, because, you know, that's our primary projects, our own bands.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so let's talk about that. Like, I guess you guys, you were saying you have a band, Boxcar, right?
My band's Boxcar, and like I said, I stole Tim's drummer off of his band.
Right.
And Jim's in my band, and yeah, we're working on a new album, and it's coming. We were recording it right here in the living room, which is where we are right now. And it's coming along really good. It just feels good to be in a new town and to already be 1 year in and be in a, you know, a hot rocking band playing a big show, Tom Waits show, and have friends that like music, you know, and it seems like it's just going really good so far. And I lived in other towns, a lot of other towns. Some are, when you move in, you feel like they welcome you with open arms, you know. And St. Louis has been like that for me. The last town I was in, San Diego, was not like that.
Yeah.
You know, it was so spread out, and I couldn't really connect to the music community over there. It just wasn't working.
Did you all, you said you were all transplants here. Did you guys...
No, I'm sorry.
He's the real deal.
Yeah. But as far as, like, coming here, was it more to be included in music, or was it work, or other reasons, or...?
I mean, I think any music scene is a lot of work to be included in.
Yeah.
I mean, you've had people there that have been grinding and grinding and grinding for a long time. You know, like locals, you know, if you grow up in music, you're in that music scene. So I think any scene can be a little bit of work.
I'm saying as far as like you moving to St. Louis, was that to play music or?
I moved.
I see what you're saying. I'm sorry. Was it a lot of work to get into it? I'm sorry.
You were doing music where you were before, right?
Yeah. But that's not why I'm in St. Louis.
Right.
It helps
being
in St. Louis, honestly.
Because I've heard, some people... I've been able to talk to doing the show. They were like, they strictly moved to St. Louis for our music scene to be, you know, they're full-time musicians. They wanted to be included in what we had going on here. So I was thought that was really cool to hear, like, that, you know, people took notice of what we had happening, and especially in our, like, blues community and different stuff. So,
mm-hmm.
But yeah. So, well, that's cool to hear that you guys are, you know, you all happen to find each other through all this and through Gaslight and everything else.
Wait, how did you meet Kevin?
I met Kevin at Gaslight.
Gaslight, alright, yeah, it's all
Gaslight.
Wait,
throw them a little bone real quick.
We just said their name like eight times. Yeah. They're hot, they're cool.
It definitely does.
Cool.
I mean, like you're saying, it's the recording studio and the bar, but it definitely seems like it's just a musician hangout too, though.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
So many people, like, any given day are just hanging out in the lounge part. And it's like, you know, kind of, you can go through, it's like a who is who of St. Louis music and stuff in there a lot of times. So it's
and
just
sometimes
like,
who's nobody? You just
right.
happen to meet somebody that's like, I want to fucking play some music.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Let's play some music.
Yeah.
There's the who's who side, and then there's us.
Right.
The underdogs. And they have a taco shop there, which helps.
Yeah. Can't go wrong with some tacos and booze, though.
And music,
And music.
Tell me, I'm fine there.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've also,
Well, let's, we did, you mentioned here where we're hanging out. You guys are, you're working on a record here in the living room and all this stuff. But we did do some live jamming on, and I thought these turned out real nice. We played Blue Valentine live right here in the living room. And so anything you guys want to share around this particular song?
I would just say as far as the what you're going to get at the Tom Waits night, I'll be doing the songs that sound like this, and Jorge is going to, you know, this is like a good example of our different styles.
That's a Tim song.
Yeah.
That's a Tim song.
Tim song.
The other one's a Jorge song, for sure. She sends me blue Valentine's all the way from Philadelphia.
Thank you.
Hold On For Me is a song that like made me really like Tom Waits, you know. I'll be honest, when I was growing up, I didn't like Tom Waits. My aunt had an awesome CD collection, and I got into it, you know, and I was like, the Beatles, awesome. I would listen to it, and she had a Tom Waits CD. I don't know what it was. It was probably Swordfish Trombones or something. I put it in there, and that cacophony of, to a 13-year-old kid, it sounded awful to me. You know, I need a hook. I wanted some pop stuff coming in there, you know, Sgt. Pepper's or whatever. And I thought, my aunt must be crazy to listen to this, you know? This is crazy person music.
So you should have gotten into the shit.
Well, then I became crazy. And I was like, it totally makes sense now. But I try to like Tom Waits, you know? There's a certain musicians I've been trying to like, you know? And I, because everybody likes them. I'm like, I wanna be part of that crew that likes those cool musicians. I listened to Tom Waits when I was 20. Didn't like him. 25. Didn't like him. Finally, somebody covered this song, Hold
You're
On.
You're giving away your age, right?
Yeah, I didn't keep going, you know? So I kept going, all right? I didn't. Okay? I didn't want to just, you know, dot, dot, dot. But
now that I'm 23.
Yeah. But I heard Hold On, and it was like even a cover version. I'll admit that, you know? It was such a beautiful song, you know? And I was like, who wrote that? And I thought, Tom Waits. God. And so I got Mule Variations. It's off Mule Variations. And I listened to that thing, man. I was eating it up, like, you know.
sad motel. It's 10 below and it's falling. By the 99 cent store, she closed her eyes and started swaying.
Finally grew into it.
I grew into it. It's the same music. I just heard it differently. You know? Then I got every CD he got. I read his biography, man. I was like so into it. And now I'm so glad now I'm part of that crew, you know. I don't know what changed in me. You know, I also love olives, by the way. When I was a kid, I hated olives. So Thomas like olives, you know. Now I can't get enough of the olives.
I don't like olives.
You will grow into olives.
Grow into them.
Okay, I hope you do grow into them, because that's what grown-ups eat, the olives. They're delicious, you know? I'll eat a whole spoonful of them. But, I mean, we change, you know? And that Hold On for me was a song where I was like, the songwriting's awesome, and I love the production of it, you know? And I love the sound of it, and it just was my gateway drug into Tom Waits, you know? Now I'm an addict.
Sure.
Are we talking about Blue Valentine?
I took that into my songs. Yes.
Are we leading into Blue Valentine right there? Is that what?
Maybe. It all
what's
works.
What's your favorite song in Hold On? What's your favorite line in Hold On?
Oh yeah, my favorite line is, "You can go ahead and you can call the cops. You don't meet nice girls in coffee shops."
I think we actually had the cops call on us.
The cops did just drive by.
But you still don't meet nice girls in coffee shops.
No. Probably don't mean to ask.
You actually do. That line is totally wrong. I don't know what happened to Tom Waits in a coffee shop, but let's admit, the nice girls are in the coffee shops.
Well, coffee shops are so much more upscale now. You know what I mean? Like
back then, it was probably, nickel and dime ones where you'd pay like 10
yeah,
cents.
10 cents for a cup of coffee?
Yeah.
So you get what you pay for.
There's Donna, the waitress with a cigarette in her mouth.
Yeah, want some more of that, honey.
Yeah, you don't. Yep.
Ashing in your coffee.
That's what he's talking about.
There are nice girls there. There might be nice girls at another coffee.
Yeah, she's got like three kids and she wants you to be their dad. No. Now we got the upscale coffee shops where it's $6 for a latte, and you want to scone for that, there's $23 plus tip.
That's right. It's often good.
I mean, there's a lot of that for me in music where it's like, I feel like a lot of it's just kind of right time in your life. If you're introduced to it, you know, too early, because I've had a lot of friends are like, "Oh, you got to listen to this record. You got to listen to this, whatever it is." And it's like, and I'm like, I don't get it. It just doesn't do it for me. You know, it's like, it's great that you love it, but you know, just not working for me. And it happens a lot. And then all of a sudden, you know, a couple of years later, I decided like, whatever I see it sitting there or whatever, I'm like, I'll give this another try. And all of a sudden, I'll love it. So it's like, mm-hmm. it's weird how like.
Do you think it speaks to your experience differently now that you're at a different age?
Well, I think it's like sometimes you have to like live a certain amount of life to get the references in these songs and different stuff like that. You know, it's like if you're too young to know what they're even talking about, well, then it goes right over my head and kind of thing. So, once you live a little life and then you can come back and listen to it and you can relate more to what, especially as songwriters, I think. But
yeah.
It's like that song, wasn't it? Who Let the Dogs Out?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Not an appropriate song for children. It just didn't relate to it. But when you go back and re-listen to those lyrics, you're like, that's just rude.
Exactly.
I think that's a fine example.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty much, I mean, that's awkward quality silence. Right
now. Yeah, no, I love that, actually. Yeah. I love that about life, because it's kind of like everything in life is like that, you know? You can say that about some person or some place, but you see it differently every time that you see something, you know? I think it was Heraclitus that said that you can never step in the same river twice, because the river changes, and you change too. On that note... Where's my laser pointer? I'm not ready to do my PowerPoint. I'm not ready to do my PowerPoint. Yeah, but also, the thing about the sound that we got here with Blue Valentine, I'll take it back to Tim's song, I'll go back there, is that it's that real piano sound. And I might not be the biggest fan of early Tom Waits, but I love piano songwriting, you know, and it's awesome. And I love real piano songwriting. There's something about a real piano that's... to me, it speaks to me as a songwriter, as a listener, as a player, you know. And the Hideaway is a piano bar. Like, it literally, the bar is built
around
the piano. It's literally a piano bar. And we're going to have a real piano there. Jackson Piano's donated it. And we got beer there from Urban Chestnut.
Urban Chestnut's one of our other sponsors.
But that piano sound, you know, that old school, you know, because we got keyboards nowadays. I grew up in the 80s where keyboards were like you know, a plague. Oh, yeah, Casio tone over here.
Yeah.
Where you have this kind of drum sound.
You just don't need this crap. You don't need it.
You got a drum machine.
Prove them wrong, man.
You got a keyboard. They can't hear Jim because it's a microphone. Turn it up. There you go, yeah.
Like, Jim just wrote this.
Jim, play the keyboard. Don't just turn the knobs. Okay,
but
forget it. That's what we say. We don't
right.
like that. Thank you, Jim.
Yeah, no,
we like the real piano.
Yeah, we are.
The wood.
One thing you can't deny about the earlier Tom Waits stuff is the songwriting.
No,
it's. I mean, he's telling stories. Not to say that he's not telling stories in the later stuff and the stuff to come. Fingers crossed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I mean, I think what we are drawn into, and then we pull other people into, whether they like it or not, kicking and screaming is the storytelling. And.
Well, I like what we're doing here because I didn't like the production of the early stuff because you're saying they laid the strings in the 70s.
Right. We don't have a whole string quartet behind us and yada yada.
When I still hear it, I think that production's cheesy. I think Tom Waits would agree with me.
He did agree with you, but it's in the biography.
Exactly.
Jorge always has to be ready.
But here, when we're doing it, I hear Tim play it on the piano, and I hear it without all that kind of cheesy production. I connected the songs deeper now than I have before because my string prejudice, and I do have a prejudice against string, especially on 70s recorded production music, it has been a little bit wiped away because I get to hear the core of the song, actually, you know? And they're awesome songs. I'll admit that.
Every Tom Waits song is an awesome song.
Everyone? I could name probably a few that aren't that awesome.
We will fight.
Yeah. There's one in particular that I don't like off of Beggar's Brawl.
Don't say it.
And Orphans?
On
it's
Orphans?
The one where he talks about the Middle East, where he starts getting political. I'm like, Tom, this is... Do you know the one I'm talking about?
I think
starts,
I do,
it's like
but that
a song
doesn't have strings
about Israel.
At all.
I'm like, I don't need this song. You know, no thanks. Hey, that's one song I don't like. I'm just saying. I could point to one. Exactly. All right.
Yeah.
You need ambiguity in songwriting, you know, you can't just start, you know, a lot of songwriters...
Hold on, somebody kicked that soapbox out from underneath your head.
Didn't this guy ask me? Didn't he ask me?
I don't know if I
asked. Rewind the tape, I want to see if he asked me.
You're closest, Kevin, kick that soapbox out.
Hey, I'm just saying, there's one song.
Yeah. One of my particular favorites is, Heart Attack in Line.
Oh,
yeah.
We're playing that one.
Yeah, that's a Tim song.
That's That was it.
Yeah, you can do that. That's it.
Basically, I read my Tom Waits Bible and he said, "They shall play D." Guy loves the key D. I'm one of those, Chris.
That's right. It's like this, right?
I'm gonna need a tip.
That is actually, I mean, yeah, that's pretty much
Jim, the
beat there. That's pretty much the beat. Turn that up.
They can't hear you when it's low.
Anyway.
Bring that beat back.
Uh-oh.
One of the best drummers I've ever had the opportunity to play with, and I'm not trying to flatter you, maybe quitting the drums to play the Casio tone, which is the most pressing thing.
It might be his calling. He is pretty good.
It might be his calling.
So what's one thing, of anything, that you, learning this material now, and playing it, like, is there anything like certain songs that deceivingly hard to learn or anything like that, or
well,
any of the stuff like that you were surprised by when you were learning it?
I would say, all right, so I've had a little black book of Tom Waits songs, just collection of, for a while, and I've tried to learn all of them. Some of them are a lot harder to learn because when you listen to the record versus what's printed on the page, it's hard to translate, especially solo. And then even when you bring other musicians in, you're like, listen to this. And they're like, how do I play that? That sounds like it's in a basement that became a chapel, like recorded through a tin can. So a lot of the songs are really hard to learn to make them sound
unique.
Like, well, no, exactly. No, it's hard to make them sound exactly the same as what you hear on the record. So I would say almost most of the songs they're hard to reproduce. Most of it's just pretty simple 1-4-5. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, if you know what you're doing, you can do it. But to make it sound exactly the same, I would say the hardest one is Jockey Full Bourbon?
Mm, the Latin stuff.
Because it's really hard.
I mean, the Latin.
The congas and the bossa nova beats and stuff.
Maybe after this, someone will bring us congas.
Yeah, we could use some.
I have a set of
we could really
we
use some congas.
We get a conga sponsorship
here. That's perfect.
Does that even exist?
How far are that?
But yeah, no, I would say kind of the some more intricate beats, because he does play around a lot with rhythms. We are doing some of the more rhythmic ones, so it's going to be a very danceable night. But
yeah, I'll be dancing.
But those are probably the hardest ones. Those are the hardest ones to learn. I mean, all the chords, all the instrumentation is actually really straightforward. But
just because none of us like play that style of music very often, it's the hard part. It's not that, as per Latin music, that's pretty standard, but, you know, we don't play it all the time, so it's more difficult than it should be.
We'd probably be better off playing, like, a Bob Dylan cover night.
I would certainly be better.
Just 4-4 folk style.
I mean,
but no, we're trying to get
in February, probably doing it.
Yeah, probably. I mean, we are trying to get a little bit more intricate with it, especially with those songs that are already more intricate on the albums. So anything with like that, because we don't want to disappoint anybody either.
Right.
So,
what you said Bob Dylan, but like, is this like a one-off as time waits, or are you guys gonna see how it goes, or are you gonna try doing a Bob Dylan night the next time,
No.
It almost feels like we should probably do like a yearly Tom Waits.
Yeah.
Maybe yearly Tom Waits.
We'll see how this one goes.
Yeah.
Tom Waits Festival,
yeah.
You know, at the Hideaway.
Yeah.
Probably Bruce
Tell
Springsteen
us.
Next time.
Oh, there we go.
Oh.
We got the boss right there on the wall.
Yeah,
there we go.
He's sitting right behind Tim right now.
Yeah.
Boss is always sitting behind me.
I think we're going to start...
You don't have to change the vocals too much. For
nah, not a whole lot. Got to clean them up.
Telecaster.
That same
tele. That's all you need is a good telly.
As far as tribute slash cover nights go, I mean, we'll see how this one goes. And typically we're playing original stuff with our two bands that kind of cross over. With our Brady Bunch of a band.
Mm-hmm.
Our band. You know, I never mind throwing a cover in every now and again, depending on how long the show is, you know. It is definitely doable. I mean, if people really enjoy it, and I mean, I who knows?
Sure.
Who knows?
Yeah.
I know there have been a few people daring enough to try Tom Waits. It's not easy. It's not an easy thing to do,
right.
Tom Waits, but no. If people are really into it and they think that we do all right, then yeah, why the fuck?
I think the first time I jammed with you guys and we jammed together, and you were on piano, which I wasn't prepared for. I didn't know you were a piano player. But then you like started singing. And I was like, oh shit, like these guys are really gonna play a show. Like, this sounds legit. Legit Tom Waits night, you know what I mean?
You thought we were just trying to get you to bring free beer to the
I
band
thought
practice.
Who brings a six pack?
Yeah.
Who brings a six pack to come?
That wasn't me.
That wasn't somebody else did bring it. Yeah, for future musicians out there, if you're going to band practice, don't bring a six pack. It comes in larger sizes than the liquor store, if you didn't know.
You'll thank us later.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Sorry, didn't catch you off there, man.
Well, yeah, well, very cool. Again, everything happening August 25th at the Hideaway. I guess we're doing. Are we just doing? Well, you said it's free, right?
So it's free. Yeah,
it's free.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I didn't know it was free. It's free.
It's free.
Yeah, well, it's $5 for you.
Dude, I'm out.
You gotta bring. You gotta bring the beer.
And you have to carry your own amp in.
Oh no.
Yeah, we're not helping you.
Yeah, no cover. Jackson Piano is donating a refurbished, beautiful Acrosonic piano. Urban Chestnut is helping us out a lot as well. We're really stoked to have the Hideaway involved and all the people that are supporting us behind it, because it's gonna be fun, you know. Long story short, we're two different bands getting together to play some pretty awesome tunes.
It's gonna be fun.
I'm trying to put a nice bow on it. It's not gonna happen.
It's gonna be fun.
Oh yeah.
Drink Urban Chestnut beers and listen to an Acrosonic donated by Jackson. You can't have a bad time.
Right.
If you live it up, you'll never live it down. Tom Waits both.
There it is. All right, well, and click RSVP on the Facebook event we got happening and all that stuff. So come on out and party with us. So you wanna
take us out?
You leave us out?
Take us out with Cassie on hand.
Jim Wolf, everybody. Jim Wolf.
I feel like I'm in Germany right now.
You got one of those dungeon clubs?
They have a black.
Dude, we're doing Germany next. We're doing Reykjavik. We're doing Germany.
Yeah, not Germany. Too many bad
movies. No. Kevin and I are going to Germany.
Well, can we do Reykjavik?
It hurts too much.
Yeah, we'll do Reykjavik and we'll go to Germany. Dungeon clubs?
What's up?
Dungeon clubs?
Oh, yeah, dungeon clubs, yeah.
You guys are going to end up in jail, in, like a Euro jail.
You're
going to
make a movie out of it.
Yeah. They were never seen again.
Thanks, Shane.
All right, yeah, thank you, guys.
Thanks,
it's been a lot of fun. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Yep, it was fun. We do appreciate it ourselves.
There it is.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.
Rockin'.
Rock and roll.
Rock people.
See, Jim, you got to turn it up. Fucking mic
is out.
You have it like, you were laughing. Nobody can hear it. We're laughing and nobody can hear it.
Y'all kept talking.
So the volume
goes
up. Turn it up when you're going to do a funny joke.
Might not, I don't know.
That's like doing a silent fart and then laughing. Nobody even knows why you're laughing.
You always laugh after
I'm
a silent fart.
I'm retiring from the Casio.
Yeah, but nobody knows why you're laughing.
It's over. It's not fun anymore. It's
not
too much
anymore.
You were playing so good, the microphone stopped and the deer in the headlights over there.
I mean, the red light's still on right there.
Deer in the headlights, Jim.
You guys want to do some kind of intro for this?
Yeah, what do you want to do for it?
Exactly.
Usually,
you need to have him get a beat.
Yeah, usually I just
Casio
like
Tom Waits band.
Yeah, get it going.
Band,
turn it up.
And then you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
All the way.
We care to do that? I don't know.
We should probably do, I mean, if we're going to do it, we should probably do Boxcar Tim Levy.
Okay.
And then let's do, I'm Boxcar, or I'm Jorge Valcarcel of Boxcar.
Yeah.
And I'm Tim Levy. And then together, you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
And then you hit a chord.
You gotta crank it.
Turn it the fuck up, Jim.
That's
God damn it. I'm getting the fuck. Give me that.
Stop. You don't even. Just. I'm getting a good one.
All the way up. Okay, there we go.
Not yet, though.
No. Yeah, he hits the chord after we say it. Yeah.
I think it might have to. What do you think?
No, we're closer to the mic. It's okay. Damn it, Jim. Play that shit.
Just do the volume. Just crank the volume.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
No.
We were going until you stopped it.
Not yet.
No. Yes. Go like we're doing.
I'm Tim Levy.
I'm Jorge Valcarcel from Boxcar the Band.
And you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Let's do one more.
That's good. That was perfect.
You want to do it together? You want to say it together?
You guys are a little hard on
Oh, sorry.
You fucking... do not change things. Okay. Right. Let's go. Go again.
I'm Tim Levy.
I'm Jorge Valcarcel from Boxcar the Band.
And you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Yeah.